Hi, you're tuned to Truth News Radio Australia on the 18th of July 2015. Great to have you aboard. Well, I've got a few stories to cover for you today. The first one off the rank is the story that's been doing the rounds on the internet and particularly on Facebook about dead alternative health practitioners. Now, I've got a different angle on this, and I'm not really going to be getting into all the details of all these purportedly dead health practitioners, because I've come to the conclusion that that it was the first one that is the one that is the most significant that we really need to focus on. And I'm a little bit skeptical of the way this has turned into a kind of a massive conspiratorial theme of all over the country, all over the US, chiropractors and doctors just dropping dead. It actually appears to be, to me, and honestly, I have no proof either way on this, and I don't think anyone else does, but this type of story, this type of gossipy kind of story, has the hallmarks of disinformation to me. And it's quite interesting, is that one of the functions of disinformation is to hide what is already in plain view. And I think what's important to understand is that of this so-called spate of deaths of alternative health practitioners, the very first one, the death of Dr. Jeffrey Bradstreet, is one that is extremely interesting, extremely disturbing. And it may be that a giant conspiracy has been created simply to hide the truth about this first death of a man who was well respected in the scientific community but was very controversial, who was involved in alternative autism research. And we don't know why someone might have wanted to kill him, but there are so many possible reasons based on the fact that he may have stumbled onto something that was very important. He may have acquired information which was damaging to people. But let's just, before we get right into that, let's just cover the story as it's being covered on Facebook and various other news stories. Five alternative doctors dead, five more vanished in less than a month. And notice it's five dead and five vanished. That simply means five have not been located. Now, some of these are chiropractors, some of them are doctors. There's a wide range of people involved in this, and they're all involved in doing different types of research and work. Now, personally, I have great difficulty believing that there is a giant conspiracy to go around murdering all the alternative healthcare practitioners in the United States. It would make no sense. It is certainly not the way Big Pharma operates, and you would have to kill thousands upon thousands of people if you were going to achieve anything that way. So I suggest that the idea that there is some vast conspiracy to kill off alternative health practitioners is actually disinformation. But let's get back to the specific case of Jeffrey Bradstreet, because this one, the way it's being reported in the mainstream media, has all the hallmarks of a cover-up, because they immediately jump to the conclusion that Jeffrey Bradstreet committed suicide. And yet there is no ruling on it. There is no decision either way. It just gets reported as an apparent suicide. Now, apparently the man was found with a gunshot wound to the chest, and the police said, oh, it was an apparent suicide. That's it. There's no ruling on it. The family of the dead doctor has created a crowdfunding petition, and they've raised about $20,000 to $30,000, I think, at this point in time. Sorry, they've raised $34,000 at this point. And although the police are not pursuing an investigation, the family is going to be paying private investigators to see what they can dig up. Now, in today's show, I'm going to actually play you an excerpt from a lecture that James Bradstreet gave just a few weeks before he died. This was a guy who was very, very busy, very active. He was encountering difficulties with the FDA, and there was a raid on his property after his death. But again, no information has been released about that. The idea that he would have committed suicide obviously is completely unacceptable to his family and his close associates. And it certainly doesn't fit in with someone who is passionate and involved in a very, very important field of medical research and making breakthroughs. Now, let me just read to you a coverage from a more or less mainstream source, a magazine called thescientist.com. And you can see the way they bring up his research and then poo-poo it at the same time. James Bradstreet, a controversial Georgia doctor who warned patients that routine vaccinations may cause autism, has been found dead in a small North Carolina town. Bradstreet, 61, died of a gunshot wound to the chest, which officials said appeared to be self-inflicted. Days after Bradstreet's body was discovered in North Carolina, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration searched his home, but the reason for the apparent investigation has not been disclosed. The doctor was known to offer patients, including his own son who has autism, controversial treatments including chelation therapy, stem cell therapy, hyperbaric oxygen chambers, and infusions of immunoglobulin for mercury toxicity based on his belief that an ingredient in childhood vaccines was responsible for giving kids autism, a hypothesis thoroughly rejected by the mainstream scientific community and by several studies. And you'll find this in every mainstream coverage of this case. You'll see this blanket statement that there is no connection between autism and vaccines, when in fact these are complete lies. These are utter, disgusting betrayals of the truth by journalists, because there have been numerous payouts by the US vaccine court specifically for injuries leading to autism caused by vaccines. It's just a lie, folks. It's not a controversy. It's a lie. And the reason the liars get away with the lying is because 99% of humanity is just too pacified and too dumbed down to do anything about it. That's all. That's the only reason. Sorry, it just makes me very angry every time I have to deal with a story where there is just blatant, outright, disgusting, bald-faced lying going on in the face of facts, and it's not being counteracted. That's why I do this show. And I put enough research into my shows to be absolutely confident about what I'm saying. There is a connection between autism and vaccines. It's a fact. It's not a debate. It's a fact. All there is there are people who are lying about it, who are well paid and who are bankrolled by mainstream media. That's all. Some of these people are actually doctors. They're lying doctors. Okay, back to the main theme of our topic. So that was one article. Another article here from Washington Post. Again, another disgusting mainstream media lying source. It says his alternative treatments for autism were salacious and scientifically iffy. See, they're trying to dramatize it, trying to draw you into some exaggerated idea that this guy was some kind of kook. But it says here in this article from the Washington Post, he took his message to the highest levels of government, and twice he testified about the supposed link between vaccines and autism before the US House of Representatives. Oh, but he's just a crazy nutter. Oh, but they let him into the House of Representatives to testify. And again, the fact that this man died under very suspicious circumstances, the fact that he was involved in very, very controversial interactions with the government, to the extent of actually being able to address the US House of Representatives, of course there are going to be people who are after him. It's a no-brainer, ladies and gentlemen. Now, again, we see here in this Washington Post article, there is no evidence that vaccines cause autism. Professor Jay Hotez, Dean for the National School of Tropical Medicine at Baylor College of Medicine, told the Washington Post, "It's pseudoscience based on a misunderstanding of the whole neurobiology of autism." But there are a lot of worrying conspiracy theorists that keep on making up allegations about vaccines. Every 5 years, the main variables change. As soon as one pseudoscience theory is debunked, someone comes up with something new. So turning all of this into a conspiracy theory is one way of marginalizing the information. And of course, turning the very suspicious death of this doctor, who was up against a very, very powerful medical cartel backed by the government, treating that as a conspiracy theory, of course, is another way to deflect your interest in what may have been a murder. And then, of course, to conflate that with what may be pure disinformation about some massive number of doctors dying that are all unconnected, and there are some of them are chiropractors and some are doing this and some are doing that. And it's all a giant conspiracy, and they're going to come and they're going to get us all, everyone. They're going to get us in the middle of the night. You know, this is ramping up the conspiratorial paranoia frenzy, so that anyone who touches upon this story will go, ugh, you know, that's ridiculous. I'm not going to have a bar of that. I won't pay any attention to it. So what I would like to do in this show is just focus in a little more on James Bradstreet. And I have a video lined up here of one of his recent lectures. It was probably, might have been the last lecture he gave just before he died. And this is on the subject of autism. And the title of it is, How Close Are We to an Autism Cure? And we are just about to go to break, but I will start playing that for you immediately when we come back to break. You're with Truth News Radio Australia, and it is, as always, a great pleasure to have you aboard the show today. And if you find our show interesting and you would like to help and you want to be part of the voice, part of those who are raising their voice to counteract the filthy, disgusting lies of mainstream media, you can help me and you can become a subscriber and you can also contribute. Very always welcome to get contributions from listeners. We are going to break. Don't go away.
Through advances in technology, our lives have greatly improved, except in the area of nutrition. People feed their pets better than they feed themselves, and it's time we changed all that. Our primary defense against aging and disease in this toxic environment is good nutrition. In a world where natural foods have been irradiated, adulterated, and mutilated, Youngevity can provide the nutrients you need. Logos Radio Network gets many requests to endorse all sorts of products, most of which we reject. We have come to trust Youngevity so much, we became a marketing distributor along with Alex Jones, Ben Fuchs, and many others. When you order from LogosRadioNetwork.com, your health will improve as you help support quality radio. As you realize the benefits of Youngevity, you may want to join us. As a distributor, you can experience improved health, help your friends and family, and increase your income. Order now.
Are you being harassed by debt collectors with phone calls, letters, or even lawsuits? Stop debt collectors now with the Michael Maris Proven Method. Michael Maris has won 6 cases in federal court against debt collectors, and now you can win too. You'll get step-by-step instructions in plain English on how to win in court using federal civil rights statutes, what to do when contacted by phone, mail, or court summons, how to answer letters and phone calls, how to get debt collectors out of your credit report, how to turn the financial tables on them and make them pay you to go away. The Michael Maris Proven Method is the solution for how to stop debt collectors. Personal consultation is available as well. For more information, please visit ruleoflawradio.com and click on the blue Michael Maris banner or email michaelmaris@yahoo.com. That's ruleoflawradio.com or email michaelmiras@yahoo.com to learn how to stop debt collectors now.
Men and women of Earth, may I have your attention? This is Herewood Fenton, host of Truth News Radio Australia. You're invited to join the info war as we work to restore truth in media and challenge the dark forces which now dominate mainstream news. I'm calling on you, valued listener, to use your hard-earned dollars to help us smash the globalist empire. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe today. Welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. And I was just saying that before the break, if you're interested in becoming a subscriber, you're most welcome and indeed greatly appreciated in doing so. You can go to the website, truthnews.com.au, and click on the banner there that says subscribe. And you can become a subscriber for a year and you can get a T-shirt mailed out. Now, getting back to the subject of Dr. James Bradstreet, I'm going to play to you from a lecture that was from June of 2015. Now, the doctor died in June of 2015. This may have been the last public appearance he gave. And I do actually have some notes about it. There's an article here on gumshoenews.com. And we may not have a chance to get right through this video. It's quite long. But it says here, Jeff says to his audience, I have covered up who this was actually talking about for my own safety on a slide 35 minutes into the video. So he's talking about autism, he's talking about vaccines, he's talking about cures for autism, and he got to a slide in his show where he said, I'm going to be covering this one up for my own safety. So just leave that with you to consider as a possible piece of evidence. So I'm just going to start playing to you from the video from about the 3-minute mark where he starts to get into the core of the actual talk. Here we go.
Today is kind of an introduction to the medical literature in terms of what you're actually treating. What are you really trying to treat? Tomorrow is, how do we get you better? There's a little bit of that this afternoon as well at my lecture at 5 o'clock. So Atlanta, big place, 9th largest metropolitan city. 80% of the state's population live within an hour of the city. So we have a lot of people to work with. And there's a lot of things for you to do. Georgia's beautiful, isn't it great? So those are my pictures, by the way. Stone Mountain, never been there. I've lived in Atlanta for 4 years, never gone once. I hear it's a really nice place. There's lots of fun things for kids to do. Moms that have been there like it. It's a good, fun thing. Lake Lanier, gorgeous, been there a bunch. Bill, my partner in HBOT, lives on Lake Lanier. He's got a boat, actually just loves to take kids with autism out on his boat and have fun with them. He's an amazing guy. We have all kinds of fun stuff. The world's largest aquarium, by fivefold, it's 5 times bigger than the next biggest aquarium. How many of you have seen the Atlanta Aquarium? It is, like, awesome. Like, incredible. I know you're going to, like, you're kind of wondering why I'm doing all of this in my early in my talk, because you see all the people that are coming in. So I knew at 8 o'clock in the morning I'd need a few fluff slides to kind of get the people into the room. So we're working on that. There's, God bless them. They're still coming in. Welcome to the Starbucks lecture. Glad you're here. They just built this cool eye thing where you can go around. It's kind of like the London Eye. They have one in Vegas as well. Busiest airport in the world, which is one of the main reasons that I relocated there, because I have a very international practice and I travel internationally a lot. So Atlanta is a great connector hub. It's easy for you guys to get there to see me. But I also work out of Newport Beach as well in California. Not a bad place. So first of all, if we're going to cure autism, so what is autism? So you got some ideas? It's a mess. It's a pain in the you-know-what. It's an experience that has matured me as a human being a lot. So it's been a amazing journey. It's been a great journey, getting to know the families and the children and seeing what they go through and how dedicated you are as parents. I never really was someone who grew up wanting to be a parent. That wasn't on my bucket list. So by the time I graduated from medical school, I wanted to be a test pilot in the Air Force, did that. I wanted to travel the world. I've kind of done that because of autism. I probably wouldn't have traveled the world without autism. But then I became a parent of a kid with autism, and I'm going to tell you his story at the end. So let's see what it is. This is my favorite one, child behaving badly to make the parents crazy, number one. That's kind of the behavioral concept, okay? But that really doesn't help us very much. And they're not behaving badly because they want to make you crazy. They're behaving badly to adapt what it is that's going on with them. They're in pain. They can't control the dopamine in their head. They can't relax. They can't calm down. They got to do something with all of that. We'll talk about that some more this afternoon. Is it a gut microbiome disorder that affects the brain, or is it an inflammatory bowel disease that affects the brain? And where did the inflammatory bowel disease come from? Did it come from the microbiome? Did it come from some other toxin? Interesting questions. Is it an allergy of the brain? All of these things, by the way, are in the medical literature. I'll show you some of the stuff. Is it a central mast cell disorder? That's Professor Theoharidis' work out of Tufts. Or is it an abnormal endocannabinoid signaling? This is the work that I'm getting behind and doing some research in that area, along with Dario and Nicola, as well as researchers at the Max Planck Institute in Germany. So we think that you can trace the roots of autism back to an endocannabinoid disruption / deficiency. And I'll explain what on earth that is. It's not because you didn't smoke marijuana in college, and it's not because you're not smoking marijuana now. It's a critical, natural occurring pathway in the body, very much like how we regulate insulin or how we regulate thyroid hormone. So is it an inflammatory change in microglia, which are immune cells that live in the brain, or is it an abnormal blood-brain barrier? It's all out there in the literature. Is it an infectious disease? Lyme disease. How many of you think Lyme disease is there? Okay. How many think it's measles? Well, measles is fading now. So HHV6, anybody got that one on their list? Okay. CMV, EBV, Epstein-Barr virus, the mononucleosis virus, HERVs, endogenous retroviruses, and other weird bugs like that, mycoplasma, strep. Should have got a bunch of hands for strep. Now, did those cause it, or were they secondarily acquired because of a previous insult to the immune system that lowered the gates and allowed infectious diseases to come in? What do you think? Caused it, or the gates were down and stuff came in that shouldn't have come in and they couldn't deal with it? Notice the lack of answers at this part of the lecture. We'll get there. These are questions. This is the question time. So is it caused by parasites, or the other view is it's the absence of parasites? Both are in the literature. Is it caused by parasites, or is it we don't have parasites, therefore we can't mature our immune system? You guys aren't into parasites, I can tell. So but we're not done. There's more. So is it a form of vitamin D deficiency? I'm big on this one myself. This is a big one for me. Vitamin D deficiency at the right time of development can permanently alter the way the endocannabinoid system works, and the endocannabinoid system regulates just about everything. Is it a form of epilepsy? Or is epilepsy a consequence of whatever happened to insult the brain? Is it cerebral folate deficiency? There's lectures going on about that. And where did it come from? Why is there cerebral folate deficiency? Is it autoimmunity to cerebral folate receptors? And if so, why are you forming an immune reaction to folate receptors? What's going on with that? Where did it come from? Is it a brain autoimmune disease? There's lots of literature about autoimmunity to various brain structures in autism. Or is it the consequence of an insult to the brain that triggered an immune response, and now the immune system's trying to clean up what happened injury-wise to the brain? Did it happen in the womb or shortly thereafter? That's where most of the transcriptional studies that are looking at the DNA message are sending us back to very early in the development of these kids. Now, does that mean because it happened early, game, set, match, and it's done? No, there's plenty of kids who can recover from whatever that is. So is it a sulfation detoxification defect? You just can't get the sulfur groups around to detoxify and to run things and to manage your dopamine and to keep you clean from all those environmental insults. Is it a methylation deficit? You'll be lectures going on that. Is it tied into MTHFR? Anybody want to go for the MTHFR gene and blame that for autism? How about COMT? That's the wild and crazy gene. It's also the gene that makes you smart. So it's a gene that is there in the environment. It's kind of called a warrior gene, but it's also one of the genes that's associated with a higher IQ. So how do we take a gene that's associated with higher IQ and turn it into a vulnerability gene for autism? These are questions. Can you see what keeps me awake at night? Other than my wife's sleep disorder, but we'll talk about that later. So is it a form of unrecognized thyroid deficiency / disorder / autoimmunity to thyroid? How many of you are in the thyroid camp? Got a few of you there. Okay, good. You thought I was done. No, this goes on. This is the...
Okay, we're just going to break. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. This I've been playing to you a lecture from the late Dr. Jeffrey Bradstreet, who died in North Carolina from a gunshot wound to the chest in June 2015. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Pressure. We usually associate it with stress and negativity, but sometimes a bit of pressure can be healing. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and I'll be back to tell you how conditions like nausea can be cured using the traditional Chinese therapy known as acupressure.
Privacy is under attack. When you give up data about yourself, you'll never get it back again. And once your privacy is gone, you'll find your freedoms will start to vanish too. So protect your rights, say no to surveillance, and keep your information to yourself. Privacy, it's worth hanging on to. This public service announcement is brought to you by StartPage.com, the private search engine alternative to Google, Yahoo, and Bing. Start over with StartPage.
Acupressure is an ancient practice that uses finger or hand pressure to cure everything from headaches to constipation. The pressure is applied to points known as meridians that are believed to control the flow of energy in the human body. Acupressure offers a simple cure for nausea you might try the next time you get a queasy stomach or a case of motion sickness. Simply apply moderate pressure to the point known as P6. You'll find it on the inside of your wrist, about 2 fingers width down from your palm. Placing pressure on the P6 point works on the same principle as those pricey anti-nausea wristbands, but this relief is free and always on hand. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht. More news and information at CatherineAlbrecht.com.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Rule of Law Radio is proud to offer the Rule of Law Traffic Seminar. In today's America, we live in an us-against-them society, and if we the people are ever going to have a free society, then we're going to have to stand and defend our own rights. Among those rights are the right to travel freely from place to place, the right to act in our own private capacity, and most importantly, the right to due process of law. Traffic courts afford us the least expensive opportunity to learn how to enforce and preserve our rights through due process. Former Sheriff's Deputy Eddie Craig, in conjunction with Rule of Law Radio, has put together the most comprehensive teaching tool available that will help you understand what due process is and how to hold courts to the rule of law. You can get your own copy of this invaluable material by going to ruleoflawradio.com and ordering your copy today. By ordering now, you'll receive a copy of Eddie's book, The Texas Transportation Code, The Law Versus the Lie, video and audio of the original 2009 seminar, hundreds of research documents, and other useful resource material. Learn how to fight for your rights with the help of this material from ruleoflawradio.com. Order your copy today, and together we can have the free society we all want and deserve.
Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. And, folks, I think I'll leave it there with that video of Dr. James Broadstreet talking about an autism cure. I'll put a link to it on the website notes for this show. I think what I've given you there is should be enough to indicate that this is a guy who is very switched on, who is deep into the research, who is highly qualified, and who has respectable mainstream qualifications, right? And he doesn't sound... does this sound like someone who's about to commit suicide? It certainly doesn't to me. It sounds like someone who is deep in his research and is a really switched on dude. So, and let us consider autism, the scourge of autism in the United States, which, and in other Western countries, which, you know, affects such a vast number of people. And I'm just actually Googling right now to get the prevalence of autism, because it really is quite staggering. Okay, I've got an article here from April 22nd, 2014. CDC publishes 2014 Community Report on Autism. And the current estimate of the autism rate is 1 in 68. 1 in 68. I mean, that's an incredible number, isn't it? Let's divide that by the population of the United States. Actually, I'm not sure if those statistics are for children only or for the general population. They may be for children only, so it's a little difficult to calculate numbers. But I'm just looking at a graph here from a study that is just on six-year-olds, just six-year-olds with autism. And this is from this is a study from 1994 to 2010. And in 2010, the number of six-year-olds with autism in the United States is 30,000. There are 30,000 six-year-olds with autism in 2010. Okay, just looking here at some fact sheets from the Autism Society. The actual numbers, now, as I said, 1 in 68 births in the United States is the prevalence. In terms of numbers, 3.5 million Americans live with an autism spectrum disorder. Prevalence of autism in the United States increased by 119.4% from 2000 to 2010. And I mean, that's an incredibly rapid growth at a phase when you cannot, you know, at a period in history where you cannot say, oh, well, it just wasn't being reported before then. It was certainly being reported before 2000. But the prevalence has doubled since 2000. So when people say, oh, you know, the only reason we're seeing more autism is because back in the old days it wasn't ever being reported, that is a completely false proposition. It is definitely increasing. And so just getting back to this this tragedy of the death of Dr. Jeffrey Bradstreet, of course, there are going to be people who would like to see him dead if he is challenging the orthodoxy and bringing information to light, which may be extremely damaging at a criminal level to certain people. I'm not saying that he was. I'm not saying he had suddenly revealed some amazing piece of information. But in the lecture there that I played for you, it does say at a certain point that he has covered up certain images for his own safety. We can't be sure. But anyway, I'll leave that with you to further investigate. It's just very important to really focus on some of the key issues when you see stories about, like, a dozen alternative health practitioners dying, and what is what is really interesting about that? Well, to me, what is really interesting about that is Dr. Jeffrey Bradstreet. There was one other doctor in that group who had dealings with the FDA, and I may get onto that in another show, but in this show, I just really wanted to focus on that one issue. Okay, I'd just like to turn now to another topic, another equally controversial and disturbing topic, which also I found floating around on Facebook. Facebook certainly does provide a lot of interesting news stories for me to cover on this show. I know I rail against Facebook often, but you know, we do need social networks, and we need networks where people can basically share information that is not getting out in any other way. And I think that is the value of Facebook. But unfortunately, it is that function of the tool of the social network is somewhat overwhelmed by some of the other agendas of those who control it. But anyway, let's turn to this story from LifeSite News, an extremely disturbing story about fetal tissue being used from abortions, used for medical research and being sold. This is really almost like a horror movie, and yet, honestly, this is going on. This is standard practice. We live in a very strange alternate universe, folks, where things that you just think wouldn't be possible, you couldn't believe, are actually completely normal. And you know, I'm going off on a lot of sidetracks here, but whenever I have discussions about very, very bizarre topics like this, and I come up against people's prejudices, and people are just incapable of believing that certain things might be the case. For example, there's been some debate about whether recent changes to homosexuality and to gay marriage and to the public acceptance of homosexuality may in the end lead to public acceptance of pedophilia. People call me a nut. They tell me to shut up. They tell me it's ludicrous. Don't even talk about it. Don't even say it. How dare you? And they sometimes even accuse me of bringing it up because I think it's a good idea. And I'm just trying to, you know, raise the warning. I'm just trying to say, look, there is a problem here. There is a connection. There's a possible trajectory here that we're on. And there's already been signs that this could happen. And there's already been some legal arguments mounted, but people just won't have a bar of it. And they get offended by the fact that you even brought it up. And at some point down the track, it may actually happen and people still won't even realize it. Now, this business with using tissue from aborted fetuses for medical research is one that has already, you know, it's already out of the starting gate. It's already happened. People may have been accusing me of being a conspiracy theorist for talking about it a few years ago. People may still be horrified and unable to believe that it's real, but it is real. Now, here's the story from LifeSite News. An undercover video released this morning shows a national leader of Planned Parenthood admitting that the abortion provider uses the illegal and highly controversial partial birth abortion procedure to sell intact fetal body parts. So, folks, we're not just talking about tissue samples. We're talking about body parts. We're talking about arms, legs, and heads. The video, and I'm going to play to you the audio now from the video. It really is very, very upsetting. The discussion took place over lunch with someone who is working undercover pretending to be a potential buyer. And the lady, a doctor, is sitting there sipping a red wine and talking about the techniques they use with the forceps when they're pulling the fetus out of the womb to facilitate the harvesting of body parts. Oh, my God. It is, honestly, it is really very, very disturbing, even just talking about it now. I'll play the video clip from that when we get back from the break. We're entering into a period of civilization which is very dark, folks. And there's just a few people here and there who are actually shining a light on it. We'll be right back after this short break.
Hello, my name is Stuart Smith from naturespureorganics.com, and I would like to invite you to come by our store at 1904 Guadalupe Street, Suite D, here in Austin, Texas, behind Brave New Books and Chase Bank, to see all our fantastic health and wellness products with your very own eyes. Have a look at our miracle healing clay that started our adventure in alternative medicine. Take a peek at some of our other wonderful products, including our Australian emu oil, lotion candles, olive oil soaps, and colloidal silver and gold. Call 512-264-4043 or find us online at naturespureorganics.com. That's 512-264-4043, naturespureorganics.com. Don't forget to like us on Facebook for information on events and our products. naturespureorganics.com.
Plaintiff or defendant in a lawsuit? Win your case without an attorney with Jurisdictionary, the affordable, easy-to-understand 4-CD course that will show you how in 24 hours, step-by-step. If you have a lawyer, know what your lawyer should be doing. If you don't have a lawyer, know what you should do for yourself. Thousands have won with our step-by-step course, and now you can too. Jurisdictionary was created by a licensed attorney with 22 years of case-winning experience. Even if you're not in a lawsuit, you can learn what everyone should understand about the principles and practices that control our American courts. You'll receive our audio classroom, video seminar, tutorials, forms for civil cases, pro se tactics, and much more. Please visit ruleoflawradio.com and click on the banner or call toll-free 866-LAW-EASY.
What happens in terms of creating wars is a mind manipulation technique called problem-reaction-solution. And it works like this. First of all, you create the problem, but you get someone else to be blamed for it. You then report that problem through the media in the way you want it reported. You get the public to react to your problem by saying something must be done, this can't go on, what are they going to do about it?
Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. And I'm just about to play to you this very, very upsetting video that was filmed undercover, where a Planned Parenthood representative, a doctor, is talking about the technique that they use to harvest body parts from aborted fetuses. The clip begins actually with a news story that's from more than a decade ago, documenting that there was a trade in tissue samples from aborted fetuses. This current story goes a little beyond that, because we're really talking about complete body parts, but, you know, in the end, it's not really that much different. This type of thing's been going on for a long time, and the general public has been conditioned to either ignore it and to minimize it. I don't know what to say. It's just appalling. Anyway, here we go. I'm going to play to you the clip from YouTube. Planned Parenthood uses pastoral birth abortions to sell baby parts. Here we go.
Now a story we guarantee most of you have never heard before. Big money is being made from the sale of fetal body parts.
Even the most ardent pro-choice advocates, like Planned Parenthood President Gloria Feld, are disturbed by what we found.
It seems inappropriate, totally inappropriate. Where there is wrongdoing, it should be prosecuted and should be brought to justice.
That was from 2000. That was from 15 years ago, ladies and gentlemen. Just continuing now with the video clip. I'll just read you the caption. The footage you are about to see was taken from an undercover meeting with a top-level Planned Parenthood abortion doctor executive.
A lot of people want to attack parts these days. They're looking for specific notes, AB notes, SA. I was like, wow, I didn't even know. Good for them. Yesterday was the first time she said people wanted longer. And then, but like I said, always as many attack livers as possible. People just want
Livers.
People want livers.
I'll just pause that. She said, always as many intact livers as possible. And she's just about to go on to say, some people want lower extremities too, which that's simple. I mean, that's easy.
Extremities too, which that's simple. I mean, that's easy. Yeah. I don't know what you're doing with it because they want muscle.
Yeah, a dime a dozen.
Buying or selling human body parts is a federal felony. The commercial traffic of body parts from an aborted baby is punishable by up to 10 years in prison. And this is an actual order form now in the video that where you can see that you can order tissue from the Planned Parenthood Society. It seems a completely criminal activity is going on here.
I'm the medical director for the national office for all of the affiliates. So I say, okay, what are you looking to supply today? Very good at getting hard, long liver.
Dr. Nucatella oversees the abortion practice of all Planned Parenthood affiliates and performs abortions through to 24 weeks.
Every provider has had patients want to donate their tissue, and they absolutely want to accommodate them. They just want to do it in a way that is not perceived as this clinic is selling tissue, this clinic is making money off of this.
Okay, so when you are or the affiliate is monetary.
Yes.
So that it doesn't raise any question of this is what it's about. This is the main. What price range would you?
You know, I'm gonna throw a number out. I would say it's probably anywhere from $30 to $100, depending on the facility and what's involved.
The $30 to $100 price, that's per specimen that we're talking
per
about,
specimen.
Right? Yeah.
Yes.
The $30 to $100 price, that's per
yes.
specimen that we're talking
per
about,
specimen.
Right? Yeah.
Yes.
How much of a difference can that actually make if you know what kind of what's expected or what we need versus?
It makes a huge difference. I'd say a lot of people want liver.
Mm-hmm.
And for that reason, most providers will do this case under ultrasound guidance, so they'll know where they're putting their forceps. Kind of rate-limiting step of the procedure is calvarium.
I can't believe that she was just taking a sip of red wine in the video. And you'll watch it. You'll see it on the website. She's taking a sip of red wine as she's talking about. I mean, this is just. It really is like a horror movie. It is like a horror comedy video because it's just so ludicrous. I'm not going to play any more of that video. You can download it. The woman concerned seems to be demonically possessed. I don't know. It's very odd. I've got one more story to cover today, and this is from a website called ProjectSalam.org. An advocacy group for Muslims in the United States, Inventing Terrorists, Preemptive Prosecution, a study by Project Salam, The Lawfare of Preemptive Prosecution. Lawfare, that's a play on words. The use of the law as a weapon of war. This study, sponsored by two national organizations, Project Salam, support an legal advocacy group for Muslims, and the National Coalition to Protect Civil Freedoms, focuses on post-9/11 claims by the U.S. government that it keeps the country safe from terrorism by arresting hundreds of so-called terrorists who were about to strike in the U.S. until the FBI foiled their plots. In fact, this study shows that there have been remarkably few actual terrorism threats to this country in the last decade. The vast majority of arrests in the war on terror have consisted of, and we've got some bullet points here. One, the FBI foiling its own entrapment plots. Two, the government arresting people on material support for terrorism charges that effectively criminalize innocent conduct such as charitable giving and management, free speech, free association, peacemaking, and social hospitality. and 3, inflation of minor or technical incidents into terrorism events, such as immigration application inaccuracies, old weapons charges, or inaccurate statements to government officials. The study shows that the war on terror has been largely a charade designed to make the American public believe that a terrorist army is loose in the US, when the truth is that most of the people convicted of terrorism-related crimes posed no danger to the US and were entrapped by a preventive strategy known as preemptive prosecution. The theme of the study links preemptive prosecution to the metaphor of lawfare, the use of the law as a weapon of war, in this case, the war on terror. Now, of course, this story is mainly focused on the United States, but I can assure you that a very, very similar approach has been taken by the Australian Federal Police. There have been numerous preemptive prosecutions, and I do remember a famous statement by the former police commissioner, Mick Keelty, in which he actually boasted of the fact that, in the coming time, we're going to be arresting people before they actually commit crimes. And, that's supposed to be really cool. You know, we're supposed to think, hey, wow, the police are really doing their job. Sounds a little bit like a science fiction movie. Sounds like a movie that Tom Cruise might have been in. And it's weird, certainly, isn't it? They think that you're going to arrest someone before they commit a crime. But, it goes further than that, because what you actually do is you induce someone to take steps towards committing a crime that they had no intention of committing. So you create the criminal, you create the crime, then you arrest the criminal. Again, as I said earlier, civilization is descending into a very, very dark period, Western civilization. And some of us have to keep shining the light on this for posterity. I believe there's things have taken a very, very dark turn, ladies and gentlemen. Just getting back to the report here, the statistical analysis shows that 72.4% of convictions on the Department of Justice list represent cases of preemptive prosecution that were based on suspicion of the defendant's perceived ideology and not on his or her criminal activity. 72.4%. Another 21.8% of convictions on the DOJ list represent people who began on their own to engage in minor non-terrorist criminal activity, but whose cases were manipulated and inflated by the government to appear as though they were terrorists. These cases are referred to in the study as elements of preemptive prosecution. Overall, 94.2% of all the terrorism-related convictions on the DOJ list have been either preemptive cases or cases that involved elements of preemptive prosecution. The study defines preemptive prosecution and gives background on the origin of the concept and discusses the tactical patterns that characterize its use by the government and provides a methodology for determining the categorization of a case. So this is the New World Order. This is the system that passes for law. It's one wherein pretty much everything is engineered. Of course, there is the odd real case of terrorism, but even that has been so provoked by the creations of the media, that people are becoming autonomous robots carrying out actions that have sort of been seeded to them by the propaganda. And that would apply to, like, the man in the chocolate shop in Martin Place in Sydney, which became a big story. Anyway, that's our show for this week, folks. I'll be back next week. I do hope you found that interesting today, and we'll have all the article links on our show notes. I'll be back next week. See you then.
more definite progress in your walk with God, Bibles for America is offering a free study Bible and a set of free Christian books that can really help. The New Testament Recovery Version is one of the most comprehensive study Bibles available today. It's an accurate translation, and it contains thousands of footnotes that will help you to know God and to know the meaning of life. The free books are a three-volume set called Basic Elements of the Christian Life. Chapter by chapter, Basic Elements of the Christian Life clearly presents God's plan of salvation, growing in Christ, and how to build up the church. To order your free New Testament Recovery Version and Basic Elements of the Christian Life, call Bibles for America toll-free at 888-551-0102. That's 888-551-0102. Or visit us online at bfa.org.
Looking for some truth? You found it. LogosRadioNetwork.com.